Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Joining me right now to talk about this first weekend of NBA action, he covers the NBA for The Athletic. You can get him on Twitter at Mr. Michael Lee. Michael Lee joining me right now on CBS Sports Radio. Michael, it's great to have you on the show. Hey, I'm curious. I want to start with the Raptors and the Orlando Magic. Is it just a widely thought to be a fait accompli that Kawhi Leonard is gone after this season, or does this postseason for Toronto affect at all their ability to retain him possibly?
Well, I'll just say if they go out quickly, I can't imagine him coming back, but they increase their chances if they make a deep run. You know, the thing about Kawhi is he did leave a perennial contender in Spurs, so it seems like he's, you know, really wants to play in L.A., and I don't know if anybody's going to stand in his way from doing that. So this could just be a one-year rental, so that may make this this playoff run all that more important, because for Toronto, it may not be just, having a long time with Kawhi, but trying to maximize the time they have with him.
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of pushed their chips into the middle of the table. If they don't retain Kawhi, then what this just boils down to a one-year gamble with him that didn't pay off, I guess, right? Because I would imagine they're going to backslide.
They go. Yeah. I mean, if they go to the conference finals or even get to the finals, then it would have been worth it, because they really just want to get over the hump. I mean, you know, the way you got to look at it is they got rid of Dwayne Casey and DeMar DeRozan because they had reached their ceiling. So you might as well go in and see how far you can take whatever you have. And then if you miss out, you have a pretty solid young core to kind of build around with Siakam and Fred VanVleet. So you have like a lot of young players, OG Anunoby. So you have some young guys that you can feel confident with going forward if he does leave. And then you can just start building from the ground up again. I mean, the team that you have with Lowry and those guys that sort of, you know, already maximize its potential. So I think it was worth the gamble to try to see if you can get something out of this.
Yeah,
go all the way.
Yeah, I've always liked that deal to Toronto. I mean, I thought it made sense for sure. I'm just curious. You mentioned L.A. for Kawhi, and I think that's where most people would say he's on his way to. If you had to handicap it, Lakers or Clippers for Kawhi, how would you handicap that?
Well, Clippers all the way. Just knowing his demeanor and knowing how he doesn't seem to be too wrapped up in the limelight and in the glamour and the glitz, I can't imagine that he would just have a desire to play for the Lakers. But I think that the Clippers just make a lot more sense because they're the depths of the underdog team that he could really elevate to a truly elite status. And if you can win a championship with the Clippers, I think you put yourself in a totally different category of legend.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, because you won. Yeah, by definition, just because it's the Clippers, they've never won anything, no question.
I mean, they'll never take out the Lakers in terms of popularity in that town.
Right.
But it'll be like LeBron when he won in Cleveland. Like, some franchises just, you're like, what? They're actually going to win this thing?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. Michael Lee of The Athletic is joining me to talk some NBA basketball here on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of LeBron, speaking of the Lakers, what do you think their chances are of getting somebody to pair with LeBron this offseason?
Well, right now, not too good. They look very unstable. And, I mean, maybe they get somebody like, say, at DeMarcus Cousins, you know, who I think would be the ideal pair. If you get a big to pair with LeBron at this stage, I don't know if getting an elite wing player is going to work out, because so many guys have been running away from him, from Paul George to look like even Kawhi last year. I mean, this guy didn't necessarily seem like they wanted to be, you know, with LeBron. But I think if you get a big, you know, that could do something, or they make a trade for Anthony Davis. But I don't see them getting one of these big name guys. They may have to trade for like a Bradley Beal, or I don't think he would do it, but, you know, get a guy like Kemba Walker or something. But I don't see the Lakers getting a big name unless they hire a general manager who has some cachet and some experience and some success. I don't know if that guy is out there and available right now.
Do you think guys like playing with LeBron?
It depends on who the guy is.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're a role player, you're going to love it, because he's going to get you open looks. You're going to get shots that you didn't even know you had, and he's going to, you know, give you confidence. You're going to go on the floor feeling like you're the man. But if you already are, you know, all NBA caliber player and you're one of the an all-star player, it's going to be tough because you're going to be the guy that has to take the blame for any of the losses. He's going to get all the credit for all your successes.
Michael Lee of The Athletic joining me talking some NBA. All right, Michael, I'm in Houston. Rockets are getting ready to tip off here in just a little bit against the Jazz. We've spent the entire week rationalizing why the four seeds isn't such a bad thing and maybe catching the Warriors earlier rather than later may be beneficial in some way to the Rockets. Do you buy that at all? Are they better off as a four seed, or would they have been better off getting a two or a three and avoiding Golden State for as long as possible?
I don't think you really want Golden State if you want them in the second round or the finals or whatever. You don't really want them. But if you have to get them, I think the second round kind of at least gives you a chance to sneak one, just because if all goes well, you'll still be healthy and you wouldn't have already been through the grind of a couple of rounds and be worn down. I think last year Chris Paul got hurt, obviously, in game five, and they didn't have him for the last two games. But if they met him in the second round and they're up 3-2 and Chris Paul's healthy enough to make it through that series, then the result might have been a little different. I'm sure they feel that way too. But with all that being said, if you're a team like Houston and you have championship aspirations, then you have an MVP caliber guy in James Harden and a future Hall of Famer in Chris Paul, you don't really care. You got to beat the Warriors to get to the finals anyway. So whether it's in the second round or the conference finals, you got to handle your business no matter what.
Who was your MVP for this year?
Giannis.
Giannis?
Without hesitation. I feel like you could overthink it and try to rationalize and give me all these statistics, and I'll just simplify it and say, who was the best player on the best team, and did he have a historically great season? And you can check off all the boxes for Giannis and what he gives the team on the defensive end, and the fact that he took a team that last year had the 16th best record, and now they have the best record. So last year, James Harden's team had the best record, and now they're what, the sixth or seventh best record? So if you just look at it just on those terms, then I think it's pretty simple. And I'm not trying to discredit what Harden did, because what he did was phenomenal, and I think it's going to be disappointing that he had this four-year run where he's going to finish no worse than second in MVP voting, and he might end up getting second three times. and I think that the players vote. When it comes down to the Players Association vote, he's got a good chance of winning that. And I think if you are, you know, a player, you want to have the recognition from your peers more than a bunch of hacks worried about a pregame media meal, you know?
Okay. Well, along those lines, because Harden, when Russ won it the year that he was on that triple-double rampage, well, he's always on a triple-double rampage, but the year that he got the MVP for doing it, Harden won the players' MVP vote that year. I'm assuming Harden won it last year. And then Harden, at least in one of the polls that I think it was on the Athletic that Sam Amick did, that he won the players' poll this year, and it sounds like you expect him to win the players' poll this year. What does that say, that Harden seems to be the perennial MVP of his peers, but the media seems to be passing the award around a little bit?
Because we probably think a little harder on it. I mean, and we also aren't facing him. You know, we're not actually on the floor against him. I think when you know how hard it is to go out there and score at that level and to carry a team the way that James Harden does, and you know how much you spend time in that room preparing for him and game planning and having the coaches tell you all how to stop, slow down this guy, and he still busts you for 60 or has a 50-point triple-double, you can't walk off the court without having anything but the utmost respect for him. And I think for writers, we always look at things like team record and, you know, just like all these analytics and stats that to the players means absolutely nothing.
Hmm. Michael Lee of The Athletic joining me on the show. Last thing before I let you go, Michael, what are your thoughts on Amir Johnson checking his cell phone on the bench during the game yesterday?
That was tacky. No matter what the purpose is, no matter what the situation is, you know, he's been in the league too long. I think his 14th year in the league, He knows better. And he got fined. So no matter what the message was or what was going on, your team is getting drilled. Even if they were up 15 instead of being down whatever they were at that point in the game, it's just not a good look. And he's getting justifiably criticized for, and I think he knows better. I mean, that's the one thing. He's a really good dude. I don't want to hammer Amir because I'm in Philadelphia and I'm around him. And I know what a good presence he is in the locker room, but you got to set an example. He's on that team to be that sort of veteran sage who's seen it all and done it all. But if you go out there and you do things like that reek of unprofessionalism, it's just not a good look.
Yeah, that was wild, especially in a game they were losing, getting blown out at home to the Nets. That was a crazy, crazy visual, no doubt. Michael Lee covers the NBA for The Athletic. Michael, really appreciate you making time. Keep up the great work. Enjoy the playoffs.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.